Hey, everybody, this is Rick Fink Jr. That's Mike Page. This is Small Town Scuttlebutt. Mike's in the bathroom right now.
Small Town Scuttlebutt is not sponsored by anybody yet. Here it comes, right on time. It's another episode of Small Town Scuttlebutt.
Small Town Scuttlebutt is the show where we find out what the people have to say. Traffic lights that are timed wrong makes my 109 way long. CVS receipts are wasteful. Facebook posts that are not tasteful. Small Town Scuttlebutt. That is Rick. He's a daddy. Wrote those posts that drove you mad. I am Mike. I work with kids. I do the things you wish you did. Rick does stand-up, stays at home.
Mike, you're a nerd. You live alone.
We'll both tell you how to live. So much advice we have to give. We made this podcast just for you.
Small Town Scuttlebutt. Small Town Scuttlebutt. Small Town Scuttlebutt.
But. Small Town
Scuttlebutt. Small Town Scuttlebutt.
Here is Rick Fink Jr. and Mike Page.
All right. You guys made it to another episode of Small Town Scuttlebutt. You came here for more. Well, so did we.
Rick, what's really exciting here is this means they actually clicked play for episode 2. But I'm wondering if it is possible that they're only here right now because episode 1 ended and it just automatically went to episode 2. I know that happens on my Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That could be the case. Well,
but folks, we're going to assume that you're here by your own volition and you chose to listen to episode 2.
Yep. You were listening and you're kind of turned on. You have to admit it. You like the sound of our voices and what we intend to do with this show, which we're still kind of figuring out. But so far, I think it's sort of going to be, let's talk about stuff that's going on in Medfield. And
I don't think we want to limit ourselves just to Medfield either. I think if we really keep our nose to the grindstone here, I think this is going to start branching out, expanding to other towns.
Like how far do you think we could possibly go here?
I mean, I think if
we've got a good concept here.
Yeah, but I think it's got legs. If we apply ourselves and really put in the legwork, we're going to make it, I mean, at least Walpole. I'm pretty sure.
Jeez.
I have confidence in saying we could get it at least to Walpole. Maybe even Foxborough by the fall.
Yeah, wait. By the fall?
Yeah.
Foxborough by the fall. Okay. That's a...
Put it on your calendar,
that's
Rick.
That's a reach.
Put it on your calendar.
I don't know. What are people talking about? Well, why don't you define what scuttlebutt means?
So scuttlebutt, historically, the scuttlebutt on a ship was basically the water cooler, which is so when guys were taking a break to get some water on a ship, on a naval ship or a merchant ship, they would go to the scuttlebutt to get their water. And while they were standing there, they'd have a conversation with their buddies. Much like today's water coolers in an office, and that's where the saying, what's the scuttlebutt, comes from.
Fascinating.
Nerd alert.
Nerd alert, but that's cool nerd stuff. People should know this.
Yeah.
It probably worked well with the ladies at parties in high school.
Oh, totally. I mean, my girlfriend now is only dating me because she likes being able to pick up on useless facts like this.
Yeah, and colonial vocabulary really turns women on. So I've been told.
All right, Rick. So we're going to do a quick little rundown of Medfield history for our listeners that are not familiar. Mm-hmm. You and I are, of course, both major history nerds. Did you just fall out of your chair?
Almost. I'm a little fidgety. I'm just so excited we're talking about history.
Rick, we'll start with the obvious. In 1649, 13 settlers arrived from Dedham, Massachusetts to start the town.
I love your script here. These are the most random things. In 1651, Medfield is incorporated as the 43rd town in Massachusetts.
Thanks, Rick. And then in February 1676, roughly 1,000 Native Americans came into Medfield and burned down half of the houses at the time, which was 32 houses, two mills, and they also took out several barns. And subsequently, 8 residents were killed during that. Back to you, Rick.
Wow. Well, that's devastating, but don't worry. Things get better. In 1800, the manufacture of straw hats began, which was the foremost industry in town until the mid-1900s.
And not only that, in March 2013, let's jump ahead a little bit here, our quaint town was rocked, absolutely shaken to the core by a proposal that a Starbucks was going to come in and take over the old mobile gas station. Outraged citizens at the time denounced big business taking over our charming town, and they tried to start a petition against it.
Yeah, they did. And in September 2013, Starbucks opens, and the lot has never been empty since.
Yeah, every time I drive by, it's full. It's insane.
Why don't you just skip ahead and tell us what happened in 2016?
Oh, okay. Like September of 2016?
Yeah, like towards the end of the month.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, something was going on.
September 29th. Yeah. if my memory serves, and it usually does, that was when Medfield residents flocked to open the doors of its brand new $20 million state-of-the-art 40,000 square foot
Whoa.
Safety complex,
yeah.
Which was obviously the new home for the town's police and fire departments.
Yeah. That's amazing. Then on November 3rd, 2016, concerned Medfield residents complained the new public safety complex is just too big and dub it the Garage Mahal. It's like a big coat. You can grow into it, I guess.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Random dates in Medfield history. I think we got a new segment. People are going to like this segment. What we'll do here is, why don't we just get into an interview?
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people know Mike and love Mike because he's such a charismatic fella. If you don't know him personally or haven't bumped into him, he works at MAP, which is the Medfield After School Program. So people that know Mike, they know him from the Medfield After School Program, where he isn't afraid to get down to the kids' level, whether it's reading to them or telling a great story. What else do you do, Mike? You like to dress up and role play and get into these.
Yeah, I've been known to be a pirate. I do a Viking club where I dress up as a Viking, and we have full battles with pool noodles and cardboard shields. And
that's I was picking my kid up once, and I saw you out there with a shield on, and I didn't know who you were. I didn't know Mike Page, and I saw you doing that with the kids, and I just thought, there are people in an office right now getting reamed out
yeah.
in a meeting
yeah.
over some trivial baloney.
Idiots, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you
not get, me.
No. Well, Mike, you're such a inspiration to the kids. They get so pumped up. There's so many people that talk, so many kids talk about Mike. And that's why I think we got to get you into the shoes of Mr. Rogers.
You've discussed this before. I don't know that I can fit his tennis shoes, but...
Well, remember what happens when there's a power vacuum, right? Someone's going to come in and take over. We don't have that guy.
Right.
We don't have somebody on PBS, mm-hmm. right? That one person. Or the way kids watch TV today, there's not that one streaming show of that guy.
Right. Who, sadly, I would say SpongeBob is now that guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yep. We need the human interaction. We need the person that can talk to kids about the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who can talk to the kids about George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Lives Matter and all that all that stuff. And also just someone to show kids the fun things in life, the little stuff, you know, just everything that Mr. Rogers did, I would argue that you can do just as well.
Well, thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. And maybe if our talent manager, Leanne, picks up her slack, maybe she could get my name out there. Who knows?
Yeah. And to think I just gave her two miniature peach tree saplings.
Hmm.
That I got from underneath my own peach tree every year. I don't
yep.
pick up the peaches.
Sure.
I get like 15 or 20 peaches the next year. Do you want one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's yours.
Sweet.
Hey, listeners, first listener to email us. I think we give Leanne's email at the end of this. First person to email requesting a miniature peach tree sapling, I will bring that to you.
And Leanne's email is bravo1. BRAVO, the number one, at smalltownscuttlebutt.com.
Cool. Do you think anyone's going to want that thing?
Not a chance. But you put it out there, and that was brave of you, Rick.
Why don't we just go plant it somewhere?
We could do that.
Yeah. It'll just get mown. Mown? Is that a word?
Sure. Mowed.
It will get cut with a lawnmower. All right. So now I've got to ask you this, Mike. Quarantine was a tough time for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we
goes
all...
without saying.
Yep. And I think because we're so well connected, we can stay in touch and sort of ping the neighbors and your friends and stuff and sort of get a temperature like, what are you doing? How are, you know, how serious are you taking this? Or what's your protocol for groceries and all that stuff? And then all the while, you know, I just sit down, I'm flipping channels, and there you are on TV, on Medfield Television, drawing Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my buddy Mike's got this show. That's what he's doing with his time.
Yeah.
He's not working, mm-hmm. and he's got these skills and talents, and he's itchy.
Yeah.
You know, I know the guy can't just sit idly doing nothing.
It's funny.
So what did you do? Did you reach out to the station and say, I want to do this for you?
No. So what happened is quarantine started.
Mm-hmm.
I was told to stay home for the week. And in an attempt to keep things feeling kind of normal for the kids at the after school program, I said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do a drawing video for the kids. So I did that and I put it up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off. It had like, nothing that I post ever has more than 100 views, 100 likes. That's maxing out for me.
Yeah. Most of them, you have to admit, are probably just accidental views. Yeah,
right.
You know?
And this one had over 1,100 views, like,
wow.
Very quickly.
Wow.
It kind of took off, and I kept doing them. And then Brett from Medfield TV reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do a show on Medfield TV. So I said, sure.
Well, that's great. So we should mention Brett Poirier is the GM.
Yes.
Over there. So you brokered this little arrangement with him,
mm-hmm.
And other cable access channels started picking it up as well.
Yeah.
So you're in syndication.
Yeah. He made it available for syndication for other channels to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And right off the bat, other towns started carrying it. So.
And I understand that you had Leanne Bravo negotiate this with the station?
Yeah, I mean, she said that she did. I'm not exactly sure what part she played in it. But yeah, she assures me that she's been very heavy-handed in the dealings in this.
Okay, well, I don't want to pry, but what's your number? How much money are you making?
Yeah, no, they don't pay me, Rick. This
what?
Is totally voluntary.
You idiot.
Wait a minute.
You do this for the kids?
Yeah.
For no money?
Legitimately.
What?
Do you want my Venmo information?
Wait, no, this is, you really do that, huh?
Yeah.
Just because you're a nice guy?
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yep. You know, maybe there is something to your Mr. Rogers thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I hang out with you. Because you're a good person. You're a good guy, and the kids love you, and this show is going to take off. Are you still doing it? What's going to happen mm-hmm. when COVID goes away?
Yeah, so this week they aired the last episode, and then I'll be going in today to record some more.
All right, Mike. So one thing that I like about you and I, the similarities are always showing themselves, revealing themselves. And you and I just can't sit still, and we are doing something all the time. And so this whole doodle club during the quarantine was not surprising to me. But what was pleasantly surprising was just your ability to to stick yourself out there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
What are you talking about?
Okay, so one episode, I loved it. It's when, what was the guy, Rick Moranis played him in Ghostbusters?
Lewis Tully.
Lewis, okay. So yeah. That guy, Lewis, and your impersonation of him was terrific. And you seemed to be really engaged and committed to the character, whether a kid had seen Ghostbusters or not. This is the precursor to learning how to draw Slimer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you've got parents that are watching in the background that are getting a kick out of it. I thought your impression was spot on.
Oh, thanks, Rick.
Yeah, let's give this a listen.
Hey, Oh, hey, glad you could make it. Hey, Winston, come back in, buddy. Let me take your coat for you. Let me just put that right over here. Winston, come on in, buddy. Come on. Okay. Winston's a standard schnauzer, but you probably already knew that. They come from Prussia. Originally, they were used as farm dogs and stuff to kill the rats and rodents and small things like that that would eat the crops. But now he likes chicken these days. Mostly it's just chicken and healthy things like that, some rice sometimes. This is Charlie. She's originally from Puerto Rico, but now she lives in Massachusetts. And Winston, I already introduced you to. He's in finance.
So okay. What made you pick this character? How do you pick a character when you do something like Louis Tully?
Well, Louis Tully was my Halloween costume this year. All of the teachers at the after-school program went as movie characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I don't care if nobody knows this character other than me and like two kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm doing. So I went with Louis Tully. Didn't break character all day, much to the chagrin of everybody around me. My coworkers,
the shit got old by snack time.
Oh, one of my coworkers walked in the door at 2 o'clock when she comes in, and she hadn't even made it to the teacher's room yet. She's like 10 steps in the door, and she had already said, "Mike, I'm gonna punch you in the face."
Oh, nice.
At the end of the day.
Nice.
So, and
what did you say in response?
Well, that doesn't sound very nice, but hey, I can take your coat if you want. Why don't I get you a mineral water or something like that?
Yeah, she didn't care for it.
Oh, God. I could work with you all day. I've been working with you pretty frequently, actually.
Yeah.
This is a blast, man. The other episode lead-in that you did, I thought was awesome. I mean, you did this piece that was a parody of Masterpiece Theater,
That's every episode, really. I didn't have it initially. I think it picked up around like episode 7 or 8.
Okay. Well, then that's where I come in.
Yeah.
And I just loved how, who's recording this? Who's taking direction from you? Like, follow the mantle, focus on the candle, back off to the clock, move over here, you know?
Yeah, my girlfriend Allie filmed it, and I filmed. Like, you know, we're making high art here.
Right.
She recorded it for me, and I just said, you know, start off on the mantle. It's going to pan steadily. But, you know, the mantle had, like, a portrait of George Washington on it, and then next to that, portrait of me with a gigantic fake mustache and a plastic pipe in my mouth.
Yeah, one of those pipes that looks like in the cartoon, like a tuba.
Yeah.
It's the one that the Rich Hunter is.
Yeah, a Sherlock Holmes pipe.
Yeah.
I'm wearing an ascot in the thing. And all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I like about that, again, you're in character. Listen to this.
Good evening. I'm Mike Page. Tonight we begin a new club of prestige. A club where only the finest of society are admitted. A club known as the Quarantine Doodle Club. And you are invited. So won't you please join me in tonight's entry of the Quarantine Doodle Club.
So what does your girlfriend say to you when you're done? Do you stay in character and... I can kind of see you doing that.
Yeah, I like to push the envelope with it and see how much I can get away with before she's super annoyed. So like when I did Louis Tully, when I did that episode, I kept talking to her as Louis Tully for a while. And much like my coworkers, she was annoyed with it. And then...
So why do you do that? Why do you keep going if someone's getting annoyed?
Yeah, I don't know.
I do it too.
Yeah. That must be why we're doing this podcast together.
Yeah, people are like, you know what? You two should just get into a room together and amuse yourselves.
Why don't you two lock yourselves in Rick's basement?
And we're like, that is a really good idea.
And record all of your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. And no, we'll listen. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And we're like, you're on.
Yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah.
All right.
My life has been pretty boring.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you've got so many.
I do have a lot of ridiculous. Oh, okay. Here's one thing that my close friends can tell you, but most people don't know about me. If we're at a restaurant or a bar, or if we're out anywhere, and I excuse myself to go use the bathroom, I always have a story when I come back. I'm always laughing when I come out of the bathroom at a restaurant, bar, anything. There's always something. Is it just me? Like, I feel like every time I walk into a public bathroom, it's either a horror scene or I come across something hilarious.
You got to put this into a coffee table book. Wow. Mike's bathroom walking stories. I don't know.
Yeah, bathroom musings.
But no, that's what I love about you. A quick jaunt to the bathroom and back, a routine exercise. We all do it. Mm-hmm. You can find something to appreciate in that mundane experience.
Yeah.
And 1 second ago, you just said your life is pretty boring.
So
maybe through the boredom, you've learned how to fulfill that need for amusement and entertainment. That's why. But what do I know? I think that I think you're an amazing person. This was a fascinating interview. I think I asked
riveting.
I asked really good questions.
Yeah, I gotta. Out of the two of us, I would definitely say you aced your part of this interview.
Mm-hmm. I give you a B+, solid.
Yeah, I was.
There's a learning curve. Being a little generous.
Yeah, I would have said maybe a B-.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Well, that's the conclusion of episode 2 with Mike Page and myself, Rick Fink. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there, guys. This was a lot about me, but next time we're going to tackle Rick and all of his flaws. I mean, we're going to discuss some of what makes...
It's going to be a fast show.
Yeah, we're going to discuss some of what makes Rick so great in the next episode.
Thanks. See you guys later.
Thanks for listening, guys.
That was another episode of Small Town Scuttlebutt, the only podcast that reacts to the overreaction of other people reacting to small town problems. If you like what you heard, please tell a friend. Small Town Scuttlebutt is released every Thursday. Rick Fink Jr. and Mike Page are mismanaged by the Bravo Talent Group. Send your comments, questions, and grievances to these guys through Leanne Bravo. Email her at bravo1@smalltownscuttlebutt.com and she'll probably get back to you eventually. Check them out on Facebook too, and thanks for listening.